and welcome to another episode of the Bank Statements Podcast. I am Jesse Homerding, and today we are speaking to Stephen Townsend from our Capital Markets Department about the latest FOMC meeting. Welcome back, Stephen. We're missing a partner here.
Yeah, good to be back. We're missing Sarah today, but we'll try and muddle through this. And if we can be half as good, we'll be in great shape without her around.
We're going to be brief and succinct, probably similar to this most recent FOMC meeting. There wasn't a whole lot of hubbub around it, not a lot of surprises. Do you want to kind of give us a rundown of what was discussed and what were the outcomes of this most recent meeting?
Yeah, you're right. It did kind of come and go pretty quickly without a lot of fanfare. So last week, the FOMC moved the Fed funds target range to 5 to 5.25%, up 25 basis points from the prior meeting. Now, we didn't get a recording done after the March meeting, but there was another 25 basis point increase there. So as our listeners probably know, crossing that 5% bound puts us back on the level of Fed funds that was reached just before the Great Financial Crisis. So I don't personally believe there's anything special about crossing that threshold. But it's just kind of interesting to notice when you look back at some of the charts and some of the direction the Fed's gone over time.
Yeah, absolutely. Pretty much all I have read is they really think that they have hit this terminal rate. We're not going to maybe, probably, hopefully not see them rise anymore. I think one thing I thought was interesting that Chairman Powell said was we are seeing the outcomes we want to see. It's going slowly, but inflation is going down slowly. So let me play devil's advocate here and say, why wouldn't we want to keep increasing rates if we know that it's actually working and helping the economy? What would be the downfall of continuing to raise rates?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. And, you know, I think Powell in his press conference did a pretty good job of walking that fine line where we are seeing, in this case, you know, I'll use the term directionally positive, which is a little bit slower increase in that, in those inflation numbers month over month and year over year. And I think part of the reticence to continue to push on those short-term rates higher and higher is they are starting to see some of those outcomes you expected. The inflation is slowing down. Unemployment hasn't been as impacted, maybe quite as much as we would have thought. There's some issues and concerns around some of the regional banking issues and some of the failures over the last couple of months. So something that they're going to keep an eye on as well about how far do they push. Recently, just the other day, the Senior Loan Officer Survey came out that the Fed publishes, and it covers a lot of those kind of issues that they really want to get to on an underlying basis. How is the availability of credit for borrowers? What kind of demand are they seeing throughout the economy in different sectors and different regions? And I think, you know, kind of slowing the hikes here, right? Remember, just last fall, we were doing 75 basis point increases at each meeting, going down to 50 and then 25. They're seeing the progress. And I think they want to be cautious about maybe going too far. So I think, you know, those kind of factors considered gives them a good enough reason to sort of slow things down in terms of their future rate expectations.
Absolutely. I think the other thing I was curious about is just the employment rate. Just as a person on the outside, you know, you hear in the news about a lot of big layoffs that have happened between Google and Amazon and a lot of those places. And yet we continue to hear, but the employment rate is the lowest it's been in years. So how do we, can you even answer that? Like, how is it we're hearing about all these layoffs and people losing their jobs, and yet the employment rate still stays really low and really has not changed?
Yeah, I think that that's a fair question. And when you see those numbers in the headlines, it does seem a little bit disconnected. But we saw last Friday in the non-farm payroll numbers that came out in the month of April, over 250,000 new jobs were added, which beat consensus expectations of 185,000 and also beat the prior month as well. And so there is still this actual pretty good job growth. That's a 250,000 new jobs in the last month. If you add up all the numbers you see from the headlines from the tech sector and their layoffs, I haven't done the math, but I'm pretty sure they don't add up to that total. So I think when it comes to the the labor market itself, right? Not only did we add those jobs, the unemployment rate decreased from 3.6 to 3.4%, back down to those cycle all-time lows in the unemployment rate. I read some stories about how anecdotally different segments of the labor market are also seeing better participation and better rates than they've ever seen, certainly for minorities, for example.
Good, yeah.
And one other thing on top of that too is despite all this, right, a lot of these ratios, right, there's like any of them, there's a numerator denominator. And one thing we keep an eye on when we see changes in the unemployment rate itself is the labor force participation rate, right? So when we see how many individuals are engaged in the economy, that labor force participation rate held steady month over month. So aside from some of the headline numbers you see, and those are real people with real jobs, and that matters, you know, certainly
absolutely
to those sectors and those local economies. But from a macroeconomic perspective, again, 3.4% unemployment, over 250,000 jobs added last month, and average hourly earnings increased month over month by 0.5%. So there's still plenty of demand for workers, which is why these companies are continuing to not only hire, but raise wages along the way as well.
Which is actually good news. I mean, that's probably been a long time coming too, just kind of like when we have talked about, there's always debate whether they should have been raising these rates before 2022 and if they had done it sooner, but wages probably should have increased as well before that.
Yeah, wage increases are a tricky problem.
Right.
Because you do end up with that's one of the stickiest segments of inflation. And you can end up in a wage price spiral where if everyone's increasing wages, everyone has to increase cost of goods to offset that cost of labor. And it kind of ends up being a self-reinforcing mechanism.
Mm-hmm.
So we like to see it. I think it's great to see some of the catch up there. But at the same time, I would imagine the Fed as being a little bit cautious in terms of how they're looking at that. Because that can continue to exacerbate problems, and that progress they're making, it might not revert, but it could stall out. And that's still maybe an issue in a place they don't necessarily want to end up at from an economic perspective.
Absolutely. What do you think about the housing and mortgage market? Do you have any thoughts on that or just information to share from this FOMC meeting?
You know, the housing sector from where we sit looks to still be relatively strong. There's still plenty of new houses being built. Housing starts have certainly slowed down a little bit, but there's still demand there. Despite the home price appreciation we've seen over the last few years, even though that's sort of leveled off a little bit, which is a nice relief, and mortgage borrowing rates continue to be high,
right,
relative to the low interest rate cycles we've seen for many, many years, there's still demand for housing. Right. We as in our MPF program, for example, we're still purchasing loans, 15, 20, and 30 year loans from members every single day.
Yes.
So there is still some movement there in the housing market, despite low prepayment speeds
mm-hmm.
and that we're seeing across maybe the securitized sector and some of the other parts we participate. But our members are still making loans and our members are still putting people in houses in their communities. And I think that's overall a good sign for sort of where that market is.
Yeah. So you said securities, and that reminded me of something else. I think Chairman Powell said it. I don't think I heard it from another pundit about how they are recommending, or they are saying that they are not buying as many securities. Is that right? Have you heard that?
Yes.
Okay. What is that about?
So as part of the quantitative easing program that came post-COVID,
mm-hmm.
the Fed engaged in purchasing securities in the open market. These would have been U.S. Treasuries. These would have been agency mortgage-backed securities and a few other things, but that's the predominant balance of it. And the Fed has slowed down their reinvestments of their SOMA portfolio, which is their holdings on their balance sheet, for a little over a year now. And this is a reversal of some of the quantitative easing programs they put in post-COVID, where they were effectively providing liquidity to the overall market, both in treasuries and an agency mortgage-backed securities, which are backed by houses and loan payments on the houses. So by slowing that, they're now effectively engaging in quantitative tightening, another lever they can pull, similar to raising rates, to try and extract some liquidity from the economy.
Okay.
So what they're doing operationally is simply as these securities mature, they're not reinvesting the proceeds. So they have some established rates where they're letting the treasuries mature and agency mortgage-backed mature up to a certain amount each month in a an amount of runoff that they've determined is acceptable for the market to digest. I think maybe we can just talk about briefly sort of where do we go from here?
Yeah.
What are the market's expectations? We talked a little bit about, you know, the Fed and making the progress towards their goals. So, you know, with last week's employment figures, the way they came, again, we're going to be watching for CPI to come out tomorrow.
Right? Okay.
So as we record this, it's May 9th. Mm-hmm. We're going to wait for the 10th to see what CPI does. But as we look at the implied rate probabilities now, there are pretty much no rate hikes baked in. So the market is saying, from a futures perspective, there's no more rate hikes coming. We've reached terminal. So it seems like, from this perspective, 5 to 5.25 is our terminal Fed funds range for this cycle. When we look forward at future Fed meetings, we fast forward to January 31st of 2024, the implied rate is just under 4.15%.
Okay.
So from where we are today, that's about 100 basis points or 425 basis point rate cuts between now and just 7 months from now.
So it's a real short time.
It's a very short time. There's been a lot of discussion about a hard landing and soft landing. We've talked about that here and how difficult that might be to tease apart.
Mm-hmm.
My personal opinion is it's very hard to have a hard landing when the unemployment labor market is this strong.
Right.
And there's certainly lots of cracks here and there. But that's why we're seeing the Fed sort of ease off and slow down. So I think, you know, this seems reasonable. Maybe 100 basis point cuts seems like folks may have a little bit more pessimistic attitude and they might think the brakes might come on a little bit quicker, the economy. But I think Powell and team are going to try to really hold the line here because they've made that progress on inflation.
Right.
And I don't think they're ready to quite give that up yet.
I agree. That's when the press conference afterward, when I was watching it, I could tell, you know, he was pretty, you know, happy about, or it was a very positive, you know, message about the fact what we're doing is working. It may be slow, but we're seeing it working. So we're going to kind of just keep doing what we're doing. And
so a few short weeks until the June 14th meeting. So look forward to sitting down again with you next time. And hopefully we can get Sarah to join us.
Yes.
And we will say, like we mentioned, this last one was pretty uneventful. Looking at the market right now, it seems like the June meeting could also be relatively uneventful. But I'm certain we'll have plenty to talk about.
Well, I look forward to it. I always enjoy having you here. And obviously, I wish Sarah was here to add a little bit of her insight too, and maybe even a movie quote. We didn't do that this time, but we will get it in next time. No worries. All right. Thank you, Stephen, for joining me today with our FOMC Reaction Podcast. And thank you to our listeners for tuning in. And we will see you guys next time for the Bank Statements Podcast.